Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. Thank God that we're here another day to declare the word of the Lord and to bring unto you Truth Ministry. So it's a blessing to be able to be over the airwaves, be on Blog Talk Radio just one more time. We're thankful that we're able to be here on this evening. And we thank God for all of our Blog Talk followers and Blog Talk friends, also our Twitter followers, and also all of our Facebook followers and friends. Thank God for you. So there's nothing like being able to get into the word of the Lord. So where the word of a king is, there is power. No, that's who we're serving, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, supreme ruler, king of kings and lord of lords, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of glory, who is the incarnate Christ. He is the Christos, the anointed flesh of God, knowing that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit don't have flesh and bone, like Jesus says, as you see me have. So he appeared in many infallible proofs. He appeared in many different forms. He is the high priest of our profession. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the king of kings. He is the lord of lords. He is the lord of hosts. He has all of those different titles. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of the Most High. He is the body of God. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So we thank God that we're here. Just another time, just another day to be able to declare the word of the Lord. Now, we've been talking on the Godhead, I believe, the last 3 weeks. And last week we weren't able to be with you, so we're going to continue on. There's so much to be said about the Godhead. Like we've said, that it's only found in three passages of Scripture, and that being the book of Romans 1 and 20, Book of the Acts of the Apostles, and also the book of Colossians, 2:8-9, 8th verse, talking about beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit after the philosophy of men, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. And it goes on in the 9th verse, for in him who, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. so everybody don't know who Jesus is. He's not standing on the right hand of God. That's a position of power. That doesn't make any sense. He couldn't literally do that if he wasn't God. So he is the body of God. He has a office that he is in, and we know the office of the sonship was given for a purpose. And like the seed of the woman or the Son of God did not come from heaven, but in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Luke 1:35, talking about the power of the highest going to overshadow thee, talking to Mary, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, Luke 1:35. So thank God for his word. So that's why he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So we thank God for that. And I think we have a call, and so we're going to let the caller go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead. Let's see.
This is why I'm calling you, because God bless you. This is Prophet Manasseh. I'm calling you because I know that you are going through one of the most toughest times of your life. And this is why I'm calling you, because prayer does bring answers. Prayer does bring change. I want you to call this number so you can be a part of my prayer closet, so I can begin to start interceding for your life. Just in the matter of moments how your life will change when you have people around the world praying for you. Call this number now if you're truly ready for your miracle. 1-800-23.
Okay, so we thank God for that. We're not trying to get in on anybody's prayer line, because we do believe in prayer, and we got to have prayer. And that is one of the putting on the whole armor of God in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And after all of those things that we put on, we got to take prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. So we know that we do have to have prayer, because prayer is a powerful weapon. So thank God for you. You don't have to give us a solicitation for your prayer line, because we already believe in prayer. Amen. So thank God for that 800 number for prayer. So that was somebody's solicitation that they did.
Okay.
So thank God for that. So today we're going to be coming from the book of Colossians. We're going back there. So we said we know we cannot exhaust the word of the Lord. And then that, everybody don't know who Jesus is. And it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal the oneness to you. And you got to believe in the oneness, because you can't be saved. You get to heaven, ain't no when you get to heaven. You're not going to get there if you don't believe in the oneness. Ain't no three, ain't no two. The devil know that's a lie. And James 2:19, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devil also believe. The devils also believe and tremble. So devil knows. The devil himself, who is the big D, whatever you want to call him, the little D's, the little devil spirits or unclean spirits or little fallen angels, they know that there is but one God, because they never saw but one God. Even when Jesus came on the scene, he told, you read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus came on the scene and people would be possessed with the devils. They say, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? Jesus would tell them to hold their peace and come out of him, because he was the name. He could cast out a devil, call the devil out, and they came out. And people were foaming at the mouth and would tear them, and they'd be throw them down on the ground and all of that. The devil would, because the devil has power. That's why Jesus let the disciples know, and we're going to get ready to get into our lesson in a little bit. They asked Jesus a question in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Verse 8, Acts 1:8. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those things. He stepped in on a cloud and was received out of their sight. Only God can do that. I've seen planes. We've all been in them. They fly above the clouds. It ain't cloudy up there above those clouds. But ain't no man going to step out of that plane and step on a cloud. Nobody can do that but the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for that. So at this time, I thank God that we have our historian in the house on today, in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. And so if you today, you are in for a treat because we believe in team teaching.
Amen.
So that's the way we do it. So you're not going to just hear his voice, but you're going to hear my voice too. So that's the way the Spirit, which is only one Spirit, that's the way the Spirit of the Lord works. So we thank God for that. And I'd like to give Elder Fountain his prompts and his accolades. And he is a educator. He has a bachelor's degree, and he's also a man of God, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a school teacher, and so we thank God for that. And also, he is an historian. And so that is so very important, biblical history, because a lot of people don't know biblical history. Like I said before, I heard a man on this one radio show made a comment was so off, and that was he said that the church began in Rome. No, my friend, the church did not begin in Rome, but the church began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
So we thank God, Elder Fountain.
And in fact, praise the Lord, everybody. Once again, greet you in the most holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Going on with Elder Cannon's thought, in fact, the church that started at Rome actually started in Jerusalem. Rome, there were Roman Jews that came to the Feast of Pentecost, and they were filled with the same thing that the 120 that were in the upper room of John Mark's mother's house were filled with. They were indeed filled with the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were the ones listening to Peter's sermon in the second chapter.
Yes.
So they indeed received the same thing. So the church did not start at Rome, just as Elder Cannon said, but the church that started in Rome was started in Jerusalem. So that's where God opened up the doors to his church. He said, this thing shall begin at Jerusalem, go spread throughout all Judea, go into Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth.
Yeah.
So it had an order by which the door and the door to salvation was open, and Peter was indeed the one that had the keys to that salvation because he had the revelation. He had the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. We want to get into Colossians, the second chapter, in just a minute. But first, let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter,
yes,
and look at this scripture.
Yeah.
Matthew 16 says this.
Looking for 18?
No, once I get to the 16th chapter. But
yeah,
once we get to the 13th verse in the 16th chapter, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say the Son of Man am? Or who does everybody else say that I am? And Peter said, well, they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. There's no way that Jesus Christ could be John the Baptist because Jesus Christ and John the Baptist were indeed contemporaries, born 6 months apart. So
yeah,
how can he be the resurrection of John the Baptist or the reincarnation of John the Baptist when they lived at the same time? So that we know that that's not possible. Some say that thou art Elias, just as the prophet Malachi prophesied. Some say that thou art Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Yeah.
He saith unto them, okay, well, that's who men say that I am,
yeah,
but you are the ones that walked with me. You are the ones that have abode with me for these number of years, and you have seen what I can do, and you have heard what I have taught and what I have taught you. I have revealed things unto you.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ask this question to you, my disciples, my followers, that my close followers, that believe in my teachings. He said, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ,
yes,
the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So now, what is that statement, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? What does that mean? To understand who the Father is, you have to also understand who the Son is. If we go into, I believe it is John the 10th chapter, if I'm not mistaken, John the 10th chapter, towards the end, and he says that, in John 10, he says that, where do I want to start?
Yeah,
I want
10
to start
and 30 said, I and my Father are one.
Yeah, so he says that, my Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, saying, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
because thou,
being
a man, makest thyself God.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus right there was announcing to them who he was by saying, I and my Father are one.
Yes.
And also, there's another place where they took up stones to stone him because he proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. And to proclaim yourself to be the Son of God, you are actually proclaiming yourself to be God.
Yes, the 8th chapter of St. John.
I knew it was in St. John again. Yes, where he talks about Abraham being dead. And he said he knew Abraham, and they asked him, how do you know Abraham, and you're not even 50 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them, so passed by. So he proclaimed himself to be I am that I am, which
now,
is the title of Yahweh, Jehovah, that Ekye Asher Ekye, the one that is the self-sustaining one, I am that I am, although I was, yet shall I be, but I still am.
Yeah.
God always is, and you have to believe that God is and that he's always in present tense and that he's never past tense or future tense, even though he may work in the past and may work in the future. He's always present tense. He's a God that's not bound by time, but he's rather an eternal God that works through time.
Yeah, just like he said, he that believeth the God, believeth, he that cometh to God, the Hebrew writer says, must believe that he is.
He is.
That he is
the
rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen. And so as we will go quickly back to Matthew 16 in just a minute, but let's pick up Philippians, the second chapter, to further go on this point that Jesus Christ is equal to God, and there's no one that's actually equal to God except God.
Yeah.
So God, what he did was place a or made himself or fashioned himself a body to house himself in. That's why Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. That is the house of God. But as we look in Philippians, the second chapter, it says, fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. God is a spirit.
Yes.
God has no real form, but God made himself a form.
Yes.
God made himself an image and housed himself within that image. He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God's direct image. He was the image of the invisible God, or the visibility of God, because God is an invisible spirit, but God wanted to make himself visible and reveal himself unto mankind, so he made himself a body and put his spirit, the fullness of himself within that spirit. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
He thought it not equal to be, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yeah.
Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Yeah.
This is one of the purposes of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, was to lay down his life and be that perfect sacrifice, that he may be our redeemer, that he may be the mediator of the covenant, that he might join mankind unto God, and that is why he humbled himself and did not exalt himself as being the perfect God-man in this world, but he humbled himself as a servant and served mankind for 3.5 years and spent 33.5 years in a human body humbling himself, that he may be obedient unto death, so that we might not be stricken with death and we might not have that curse of death upon us anymore.
Yes, and that's why somebody said, and rightfully so, they said that he paid a debt that he didn't owe.
Uh-huh.
And they went on to say, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay.
Amen.
And the penalty for sin was death.
Amen.
That's why the Roman writer, Apostle Paul, said the wages of sin is death. You're going to get paid for it.
Amen.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. And in the book of Hebrews, it calls Jesus Christ the surety of a better testament. He is our surety.
Yeah.
And if you look through the Bible of what a surety is, or if you even look in the dictionary of what a surety is, it is a co-signer. He became our co-signer. And when you take on a debt and you have to take on a co-signer, when you can't pay that debt any longer, that co-signer now becomes on the hook,
right,
to pay the debt off. So he became our surety or our co-signer so that he could pay off the debt and purchase the debt that we owed, so that we did not have to be bound, or we did not have to fall victim to the penalties of that debt.
Yes. I want to say this right quick. I've been putting the call-in number of our episode every week. I've been trying to make sure I put it on, but it's come to my attention. Everybody's not listening on line. They may not be logged into Block Talk Radio, but you may have picked up the link from Twitter or Facebook. But should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-6566.
Amen.
That is 646-716-6566. You're welcome to call in should you have a comment,
Amen.
Should you have a question. We'll try, by the grace of God, we'll make every endeavor to answer your question or welcome your comment.
And indeed, we do encourage comments and questions. We don't have all the answers. We are not claiming to be God.
No.
We are men sent from God, so we will do our due diligence to fulfill the ministry that God has given us in answering any questions that you may have concerning the Godhead, concerning salvation, concerning the church that began at Jerusalem, the Apostolic Church. But in any manner, let's move on. Let's go back to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're qualifying what this statement that Peter made was, that calling Jesus the Christ and calling him the Son of the living God, he was indeed calling him God manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but the Spirit,
yes,
my Father, because God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it unto you.
Yes.
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So now, to explain this scripture, we have to understand that the rock that Jesus is referring to is not Peter, although that name does mean rock or little rock. That is not the reference that Jesus was making in this instance. He wasn't saying that I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter,
no.
Because that would mean that this church is built upon a man. No, I'm building this church upon the revelation of who I am, that God is the author and finisher of my faith.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my faith, and that upon this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, God manifested in the flesh, the Redeemer, the one that has come to wash away thy sins, the one that has come to shed my blood for you, the one that has come to hang upon a cross for you, the one that has come to become a curse for you, I am upon that rock, upon this revelation of who I am,
yes.
I will build my church, or
yes.
the ecclesia, or the called out people that will serve me and worship me in spirit and in truth.
Yes. And we might as well stab a death lick in this notion while we're on it. It comes to mind. And like a lot of people be saying, when I get to heaven, St. Peter will be saying this, Peter won't let me in. Peter ain't going to be letting nobody in. Because you got to get the fuel to get in right now. You got to get the fuel to blast off right now.
Amen.
That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter was the man with the power and the authority. That's why down in Samaria, they had to wait. Said only that had fallen upon only them that had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They waited for Peter and John when they came. Because Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's why
Amen.
He told Peter, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven.
Amen.
That means exactly what it says.
So, yes, he gave him those keys.
Yes.
And the keys first began in Jerusalem. Peter was the first one that opened the door of salvation
yes.
unto the ones in Jerusalem. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Means the powers of death shall
yes.
not prevail against the power of life that is fueling the church or keeping the church going. So what Peter did on the day of Pentecost was open up the door of life so that the gates of hell, that word hell there doesn't mean the lake of fire, but
mm-hmm.
rather means the grave or death.
Yeah.
The powers of hell shall not be able to bind you into the grave any longer.
Right.
But then when that trump sounds, when the voice of Jesus Christ, when he descends down into the clouds and calls his people, we shall rise up out of the grave, not our literal bodies, but our souls, and we will be given glorified bodies. This is what the teaching in 1 Thessalonians and the teaching in 1 Corinthians speaks of.
Yeah.
And he says, when he says, I give you the keys, now Peter has opened up the door in Jerusalem, and then they preached throughout all Judea only unto Jews.
Yeah.
And then, as Elder Cannon said, he went into Samaria. Although Philip was the first one to preach the gospel unto them,
yeah.
they could not receive the Holy Ghost until Peter came and finished opening the door.
Yeah.
They received the baptism because that is what Philip preached. But he had to call for the apostles, Peter and John, to come down, and when they laid hands upon them, they received the Holy Ghost. And it, you know that something had to happen because Simon the sorcerer saw these events happening and said, how much money can I give you I may have this same power
mm-hmm.
also, that I may lay hands upon people and they receive the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And this was this man trying to take advantage of God's power.
Yes.
But you can't take advantage of God's power, although as much as you may try, there are many wolves and grievous wolves that are out there trying to take advantage of the people of God and trying to take advantage of lost sheep and lost souls and trying to take advantage and fleece people and take their money and take everything that they have. That's what sorcerers do,
yeah.
is they try to make a gain off of what they do. That's what soothsayers do. That is what the folly or the error of Balaam was. He was trying to make money off of the gift of soothsaying that he had.
Yes.
The young girl in Philippi that came across Paul and his company was a soothsayer, and she made her masters a lot of money.
Yes.
And when Paul cast that devil out of her, her masters got really mad because they could no longer make money off of her gift or talent, so to speak.
Yes.
So you can't take advantage of the power of God. The power of God is much stronger than that. You can't sell it for money.
No, and that's why Peter said to this same account here in the 8th chapter of Acts, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter,
uh-huh.
for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He said, repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The thought. You think you're going to purchase God's gift with money? Then he went on to say, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me.
Yes.
So at least the man repented.
Yes.
We do know that right
Amen.
There.
Amen. So that was the second door that was opened, because a Samaritan was different than a Jew, because a Samaritan was of mixed heritage.
Yes.
A Samaritan was of the northern tribes that had mixed with the Assyrians when they went into captivity and came back into the land, and every Jew thought Samaritans had a devil. So they were different in the sense that they were not of what was known as Judaism or Jewry. They were not part of that system. So he had to open up the door to that particular system. And then there was another door that had to be opened with the keys of salvation by Peter. And that was unto the Gentiles. That was neither Jew nor Samaritan. These are people that were considered dogs. These were people that were considered the lowest of the low and had no rights or no hope unto salvation because long ago after the flood, they professed themselves to be wise, yet became fools, worshiping after the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah.
And as time went on, God saw fit that only the Jews or the Hebrew or the descendants of Abraham were worthy enough to worship. But then it turns out that these people that he had with him were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and they did not want to follow after the commandments that God had laid out for them before they walked into the land of Canaan. So now Jesus said in the 10th chapter also of St. John that there are sheep that are not of this fold that I need to bring in.
Yes.
There are some people that I need to bring into the fold that the Jews just aren't simply going to accept, but I accept them.
Yes.
Who God accepts. God is not a respecter of persons. Men may be respecter of persons. They may see that one person may have it together. They may seem like they are religiously upright, and that they may seem like they have a lot of money. They may seem like they have it all together. But God is not looking at the outward appearance. God is not looking at what a man can do for him physically.
Right.
But God is looking at the soul. God is looking at the heart and what the heart thinketh. God knoweth, is the discerner of thoughts, and he is able to see what we are thinking. He even saw what we were thinking before the foundation of the word of the world, according to his foreknowledge. That is how he started predestination.
Yes.
So now when Peter was called into Caesarea, he had to be convinced three times to go unto this man, Cornelius's household.
Yes.
Although Cornelius received the vision one time, Peter had to receive it three times in order for him to come and preach the gospel unto him.
Yes.
And after he preached the gospel unto him, amongst witnesses, Jewish witnesses that came with Peter, the Holy Ghost fell upon
all of them
in the household, and they spake with other tongues. And Peter said,
I perceive God is no respecter of persons.
I perceive this, and that who am I? Who am I to tell God how to do his business?
Right.
So I'm just paraphrasing at this point. Mm. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Look at Acts 10, 10th chapter, and I believe it's around the 47th or 48th verse.
Mm-hmm.
He commanded them to be baptized. It's not just a simple ordinance, an outward showing of thy faith. It's a commandment.
Yeah.
And if you love me, keep thou my commandment.
Yeah.
So this is the revelation that was laid upon that Peter had to walk upon and build the church upon, because the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
Yes.
Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, or the chief revelation of where what the church is and what the purpose of the church is in this earth. And the foundation was laid by those that walked with him and knew the doctrine and were taught the doctrine, and they taught the doctrine unto others also.
Yes.
This is what this is what Jesus said in John the 17th chapter, them that would believe on me
through their word
whom mm-hmm. thou hast given this me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the revelation that was established, that Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the one that came and died for our sins, and that this is what we should be building the house of faith upon.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that the backup of, we always say piggyback. I want a horseback on that in the 10th chapter of Acts. But Peter said, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness
yes.
is acceptable with him. So in other words, God is not looking at your heritage or your ethnicity and all that stuff like we do, but he's looking at a heart.
Yes.
So if you fear him and work righteousness, that's what he accepts,
yes.
is what he was saying. Now, Peter didn't believe. Peter thought this was just for the Jews.
Yes.
He didn't think. He thought. That's why he, when he, Elder Fountain
and
mentioned about that vision.
And none of the Jews believed it also.
No, they didn't believe it either. God had to show them.
Yes.
And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. When he had let that sheet down with all men are a four-footed beast and all these things, he said, nothing at any time after common have entered in my mouth. And he went on to let him know. He said, well, God has cleansed, call not thou common.
Amen.
So in other words, he got the revelation. He understood the vision of what he was talking about. When he poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, as it says, they of the circumcision, which are the Jews, were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on to say, Luke, when he writes, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
Amen.
Then Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And like Elder Fountain that went on to say, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we know the Lord's name is Jesus.
And
he is the Christ.
And Peter actually had to go on trial before the rest of the brethren.
In the next chapter.
In the very next chapter, to prove that God had opened up salvation unto the Gentiles,
yeah.
and he did it through Peter.
Yeah, he said, what?
Those are the keys of the kingdom that were given unto Peter.
Yes.
That whatsoever thou shalt open in heaven, or shall
right.
loose in heaven, shall be, or shall loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven,
mm-hmm.
which however shall bind in, on earth, shall be bound in heaven.
And then a lot of other things that go along with it, just like John the Baptist, he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He said, he gave a like gift unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what was I that I could withstand God? You know, and so then they, you know, they said God has granted unto Gentiles the like gift, you know, the gift of eternal life. But also, that's the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28 when he says, this shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
All flesh.
All means all in that context.
Amen.
All flesh.
And so... getting back into our subject of the Godhead, this is again, that was the revelation that was given unto them, that they knew
yes.
that Jesus was the Christ, that this was God manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
And now going into Colossians, the second chapter, he says that let's start in the sixth verse. It says,
mm-hmm.
as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are many men that have many different thoughts on who, again, Jesus Christ is. Who do men say that I am? There's all sorts of different philosophies on who Christ is. He could be just a man. He was a prophet, a holy man of God, a pious man of God. He was this, he was that. He was a manifestation of Michael the archangel. He was the mighty God manifested, but not the almighty God manifested. There's many different philosophies and traditions and rudiments that have been established of who Jesus is, but it's not after Christ. This is not what the church was established upon. This is not what we are rooted in the faith. We are rooted in this. For in him dwelleth all. Just as Elder Cannon said, all means all right here. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. That means all of God was in this man. All of the Spirit, all of the wonder-working Spirit was in this man. The same Spirit that was in the beginning was in this man. The same Spirit that spoke unto Moses was in this man.
Yeah.
The same Spirit that spoke unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was in this man. The same Spirit that spoke unto David was in this man. The same Spirit that spoke unto Solomon was in this man. And you have to know that all of God was in him bodily. There's no argument there. The Father was in him. This is why he said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I am in the Father's house, and the Father is in his house.
Yes.
He is the Father of his own house, and he's inside of me working these wonders. I don't work these wonders for my sake, but the Father that is in me.
Yes, and then also, we like to, Job said that God treadeth upon the waves, or treadeth upon the sea. So where we're going to see that is there's two writers. There's only one gospel before gospel writers, and the writer of Mark in the sixth chapter, and also the writer of John in the sixth chapter. In the sixth chapter of Mark, Jesus has sent them away, told them to get in a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he went away. Sent away the people. While he sent them away, he departed in a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus cometh unto them, walking upon the sea.
Yes.
You ever seen a man walking on the sea? No, you haven't.
Amen.
Only God can do that.
Amen. And I wanted to go off of that because after that he caused the wind to cease.
Yeah.
And it says in the Proverbs in a few different places, but in one place is in Proverbs the 30th chapter, he says that who gathereth the wind in his fist, or who
mm-hmm.
has command over the wind. And there's another place that he says that the wind is in storage for him, that he has winds in his treasury that are for his use whenever he would like to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So he had command over the winds. God is the only one that has the power to do such a thing. And so you have to know that he's God right there. So all the fullness dwelt in this man, knowing that even though he was born of a woman at the fullness of time, even though he was born of a woman, he never ceased from being God.
Right.
If we look in St. John, the third chapter,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you have noticed, but St. John is the gospel that reveals Jesus Christ being God manifested in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This is this is the book that reveals this the most.
Mm-hmm.
In St. John, the third chapter, in the 12th or 13th verse, it says,
mm-hmm.
"And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came it down, that he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven."
Right. He was standing on earth.
How can you be in heaven if you're standing on the earth? Because he's God on earth, but he still never ceased from being on his throne in heaven.
Yes. He's everywhere, here, now, there. God can leave you, come to you, and ain't going nowhere.
Amen. And how is it that Jesus Christ still has to come again, yet he is inside all of your hearts? The Spirit of Christ is in us, right?
Yes.
If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his, but he still has to come back. So how is it he has to come back, yet he never left, and he's in us forevermore?
Yeah.
You try to figure that one out.
And then this one here, I'm still trying to get this. So this, I made mention about the sixth chapter of Mark. We read that. Also, this is the same account. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And the chapter 6 and verse 18, verse 19 rather, but verse 20 of St. John 6 and 20, "But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid." And verse 21, this is what blows my mind. "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the other side whither they went."
how does that happen?
Yeah. Mark said they went, I don't know how many furlongs before they got to shore. John said, "No, I don't know what wrong with y'all, but when he got in the ship, immediately we was at the other side."
Amen. Amen. That is the power of God working in this man.
Yeah.
What manner of man is this?
Yeah.
This is what the question that they asked. So we understand that the Father was in the Son.
Yeah.
I want to get into 1 John, the 5th chapter,
mm-hmm.
In a minute, but let's look at St. John once again, the 14th chapter, and let's look, this is after the Last Supper, this is the last teaching, the last teaching of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. He's teaching the 11, and Judas Iscariot has left the building.
Yeah.
So there's only 11 of them there. He speaks unto them and says that in the 14th chapter, the 5th verse, he says, fifth verse, it says, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way?" Because he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you,"
mm-hmm.
"and then come again so that you may be where I am." Where was he? In the Father's house.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Father's house, but now he was going to prepare a place for them to be in the Father's house. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." He said, "You've seen the Father."
Yes.
But earlier he said, "No man has seen the Father."
Right.
He says, "You have seen the Father." And Philip said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second, Lord. Lord, what are you saying that we've seen you?"
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it all on the table right now. Lord, show us the Father,
yes.
And it suffices us.
Mm-hmm.
If you manifest the Father right now
we'll
in front
satisfied.
Of us, we'll be satisfied and we will never question you again. And Jesus said unto him, "Have I not been so long with you, and ye has not known me, Philip?" Hold on a second. You know me.
Yes.
You're looking at the Father right now, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
"And he has seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? You have seen the Father. You've seen me in my earthly ministry. You've seen me in my flesh. I am the flesh of God. I have manifested myself so that you may be able to handle me and see the word of life manifested unto you."
Yes.
I am the Father. That's what he's saying right there. How do I need to show you the Father? And the Father's been walking with you for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Because the fullness of the Father has been in me. You have seen the Father because the Father has been working the works through me. So there's no separation of Father and Son when it comes to Jesus Christ. You have to know that Jesus Christ is the Father.
Yeah.
And now, as we are in 1 John now, we're turning to 1 John, and he talks about that in 1 John he says that if you have the Son, you have the Father also.
Yes. That's in the second chapter. Yeah. I've not written unto you because you know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? That he that denieth Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also.
Also.
Yes.
So if you know who the Son is, you know who the Father is, because the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father.
Yeah.
And now, as we go into the fifth chapter, we'll be able to start this today, but we may have to pick it up again next week. As we start the fifth chapter, we can start reading from the first verse. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Mm-hmm.
By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we keep his commandments. One of those commandments is baptism.
Mm-hmm.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Mm-hmm.
That for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood.
Mm-hmm.
When you get baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not just being baptized in water. You are being baptized in water and blood, because
mm-hmm.
that is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came by water and blood.
Mm-hmm.
When they pierced him in the side with that spear, out of his side came both water and blood.
Yes.
And it is the Spirit that bear witness,
mm-hmm.
because the Spirit is truth.
Mm-hmm.
For there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven. Now, this is not a separation, as the Trinitarians may want you to believe. This is not a separation, but rather, when he says there are three manifestations,
yes.
that bear record in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We know that the Word indeed is the Son,
mm-hmm.
because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was manifested in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation, the 19th chapter, when Jesus Christ cometh again, the name that he bears is the Word of God.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ is the Word, and so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all bear record in heaven. These three are one.
Mm-hmm.
They're not three. They're one. There is only one Spirit. St. Paul tells us that in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. There's only one Spirit,
right.
and it's manifested itself in various ways. Although, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It says, now, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities in operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. So, although there may be diversities of the gift. The Holy Ghost is working in all of those people that are gifted with gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Elder Cannon said in the beginning, we team teach. Although we have different styles and we have different places we go, it's all the same spirit that is working according to our knowledge in us.
Yeah.
And there are different administrations, but it's all the same Lord. That Lord is that spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of the Lord is that Lord. And there are diversities in operations or different ways that the administrations work, but it's all the same God. It's all one.
Yeah.
There are, even though it says there are three, that is three different manifestations of one spirit.
Yeah.
He manifested himself as the Father in creation, he manifested himself as the Son in redemption, and he manifested himself as the Holy Spirit in eternal comfort, and these three are all one.
Yeah.
It's all the same spirit.
Yeah.
You can't separate the spirit, because if you have three distinct persons, if you have three distinct persons in the Godhead, that means you have three bodies, three spirits, three souls, because every person has a body, soul, and a spirit.
Right.
So then now you are separating the spirit of the Father from the spirit of the Holy Ghost, and we all know that they are the self-same spirit, and that the spirit of the Son is also that self-same spirit.
Yeah.
These are all three are one. They don't just agree in one. They are one.
Yeah.
Now, we see this difference in the very next verse. It says, there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. What do they agree in one in? One baptism. There's one baptism. St. Paul again tells us this in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That one baptism is made up in three parts,
yeah.
Three different things that agree in one spirit, that agree in one baptism. That is the water and blood and water baptism in Jesus' name. So when you get dunked in that water in the name of Jesus, you are applying the water on your life, you're applying the blood on your life, and then when you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are applying the Spirit in your life, and that is the one baptism that Paul speaks of. So those are three separate, they're not three manifestations, but rather three different things with three different properties. Blood does not have the same properties as water or the Spirit, just as water doesn't have the same properties as the Spirit or the blood. They are three different things that all come into agreement in one baptism.
Yeah.
That is the difference between verse 7 and verse 8. Although there are three that bear record in heaven, those three are all one spirit manifested in three different ways, whereas in verse number 8, there are three different things with three different properties that agree in one baptism. I want to keep going unto the 20th verse, but we don't have time on this evening. We will have to pick it back up. We will go through the rest of the fifth chapter, because it lays out exactly who the true and living God is at the end of the chapter room upon next week. Until that day, read your Bible, study the scriptures that we have shown you that these things are so. And in Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.